محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم نبينا الآمر الناهي فلا أحد أبر في قول لا منه ولا نعم هو الحبيب هو الحبيب هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم دعا إلى الله فالمستمسكون به مستمسكون بحبل غير منفصمين فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم وكلهم من رسول الله ملتمس غرفا من البحر أو رشفا من الديم وواقفون لديه عند حدهم من نقطة العلم أو من شكلة الحكم فهو الذي تم معناه وصورته ثم اصطفاه حبيبا بارئ النسم
So in the name of Allah, the merciful, compassionate, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon His noble messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he began, he said, that we talked yesterday about the two previous lines saying that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the Lord of both worlds, Lord of both species, Lord of both assemblages, Arabs and all others. Our Prophet, commander of right, forbidder of wrong, no soul kept his word more justly, whether yes or no. And so he said here that again, this word used that فَلَا أَحَدُونَ أَبَرَّ that there's no one more truthful or there's no one more just or there's no one more firm when he says yes or when he says no. And so he says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was only rarely that he said no. Right? And especially if he was asked about something related, some worldly thing, that he never said no, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked for a worldly thing. And he says that how could this be that if this is the case, even such the case with his great grandson, Sayyidina Ali Zayn bin Abidin, that there's a line of poetry written about him, that he said that مَا قَالَ لَا قَتْ إِلَّا فِي تَشَهُدِهِ he never said no except in his tashahud, when he said, referring to that there's no God, right, but Allah. And he said that if it wasn't for his tashahud, that his la would be, that his no would be as if it was yes. Right, that his no would be yes. So he said this is how Sayyidina Ali Zayn al-Abidin was described. So then how much more so in the right of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said huwa al-habibu alladhi turja shafa'atuhu li kulli hawlin min al-ahwali muktahami. He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped for as arms against a host of relentless calamities. So he's talking about the word now al-habib, and this is the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it can have two possibilities. Either it could be an ism fa'il or it could be a maf'ul. And if it's an ism fa'il, it means that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone else. And if we say this is a maf'ul, that he is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than anyone else. So no one is more beloved to Allah than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no one loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that likewise, if we say that the meaning of al-habib means al-muhib, the one who loves, that no one loves his ummah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That he has a deep and intense love for his ummah, and this is why we see in a hadith where he said that ana haddukum min al-anbiya, I am your portion I am the one that Allah has given to you from amongst the prophets and messengers, and you are my portion from amongst the different communities and the different nations. Right? And so the Prophet Muhammad has this extreme love for his ummah. And so he says that huwa al-habibul ladhi tulja, he is the beloved whose intercession is hoped for. And he talked a little bit about the word tulja, which is to be hoped for. And he says here it means it's the opposite of despair. Right, so that we're hoping for the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad, and he used the word hope for instead of a word that necessitates certainty. Right, hope for is something that you don't necessarily know for sure it's going to happen, but you hope for that thing. But he didn't use a word here to indicate that it's going to happen for sure for two reasons. The first one being that for a person might become deceived if he realizes that he's going to definitely seek or receive the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, so it might lead him to not leave some of the incumbent things upon him. It might lead him to fall into some acts of disobedience if he's for sure going to attain the shafa'ah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Or a second meaning is that the different intercessions of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, that there's many different intercessions, right? The first and foremost and the greatest is that it was the Shafa'at al-Udhma, is the greatest intercession, and this is the Maqam al-Mahmud and the praiseworthy station that is solely for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is not just for the believers, that this is for all of creation, including the disbelievers will be under the Shafa'at of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the point where the sun descends low, to where people start sweating, that they want to be thrown into the fire, right? And this is, so even the disbelievers will be under this Shafa'at al-Udhma, this greatest intercession of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he used this word of raja, of this hope, because of hoping for not just one of the shafa'as of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but hoping for many of the different intercessions. And Habib Qadim said that there's 6 or 7 different intercessions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of them are for people to enter into paradise without reckoning. Of them are for people that deserve to go to the fire but go to the paradise. Of them are the people that are in the fire that they come out and go to the paradise. So there's different intercessions related to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he goes on to say that linguistically, shafa'a or intercession is someone mediating between someone else, right? And in terms of religion, it's related to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon and forgive his ummah. And so he said here that he goes on to say that لِكُلِّ هَوْلٍ مِنَ الْأَحْوَالِ مُكْتَهَمِي, that a howl, he said, is an intense situation. Right, is an intense situation that someone finds themselves in. And the end word, muktahami, means that someone be in this intense situation without any choice of him. He be forced to be in this intense situation. And he said that, he mentioned here that hawl min al-ahwal, these very different intense, these various intense situations, because on the yawm al-qiyamah, there will be many different situations one finds one in, whether it be in the grave, or whether it be in front of the scales, or whether it be going across the traverse, that all of these situations will be very intense and very difficult. And this is why that he mentioned here the plural of these intense situations. And this is why we see there was Sayyidina Anas asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that where will I find you on Yawm al-Qiyamah? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will find me at the mizan, at the scales. And I will be making supplication for my ummah and interceding for them. And he says, O Rasulullah, if I don't find you at the scales, then where will I find you? He said, then you will find me at the sirat, at the traverse over the... he'll find me at the traverse. And I will be making dua for my ummah and making shafa'ah for them. He said, O Rasulullah, if I don't find you there, will I find you? He says that you will find me at the hod, at the basin, that I will again be making supplications for my ummah and making intercession for them. And he says that you will find me definitely in one of these three places. I will not be seen, I will definitely be found in one of these three places. And so he said that he mentioned that on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, that when people, this related to the Shafa'at al-Udhma and the greatest intercession, which is solely for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that people will go, as is well known, to the other prophets and messengers and seek their Shafa'ah, and all of them will say that they'll be concerned about themselves except him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said this concern for themselves of the Anbiya could be one of two reasons. One is that they know that this is not their station. Right, they know that this is solely the station of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to have this great intercession. Or second meaning could be that they realize and they think to themselves that they're not worthy of such a rank, so that they have humility before Allah in order to, relating to this affair. So he goes on to say, دعاء إلى الله فالمستمسكون به مُسْتَمْسِكُونَ بِحَبْلٍ غَيْرِ مُنْفَصِمِ. He called on God, or he called to God. Whoever clings to him clings to a rope that will never unravel nor break. And so he said that the Prophet Muhammad is a da'i. He is someone who is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ, O Prophet, that verily we have sent you, إِنَّ أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا, as a witness and one who gives glad tidings, وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَظِيرًا, and as a warner, وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ, and a caller to Allah with his permission. Right, and so he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to all of mankind, including the jinn and also the malaika, according to the dominant opinion. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to all of these three people of the that have intellect. And so that he said here that da'a ilallahi, so he called to Allah, fad mustamsikuna. And so some of them say here that there's something that has been emitted from this sentence, which is da'a ila dinillah, that he called to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he called to the sabil, or the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that another meaning could be that he called to everything that is good, everything which would draw someone close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But all of these meanings are interrelated. For instance, if he called to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if someone, whoever sticks closely to the deen, will eventually arrive to closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the meanings are interrelated. As we see the ayah in the Quran that says, call to the path of your Lord with wisdom and a good admonition. And so he goes on to say, فَالْمُسْتَمْسِكُونَ بِهِ, so those that cling tightly, bihi, either to this deen that was previously mentioned, or bihi, related to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So rather, they either cling tightly to the deen, or they cling tightly to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَالْمُسْتَمْسِكُونَ بِهِ, مُسْتَمْسِكُونَ بِحَبْلٍ غَيْرِ مُنْفَصِمِ, that they are sticking, they are clinging tightly to a rope which will never break. Right, and he said this rope could either be the deen that was previously mentioned, or it likewise could again be the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this will never break if one sticks to these two things tightly. So next line states, فَاقَ النَّبِيِّينِ فِي خَلْقٍ وَفِي خُلُقٍ وَلَمْ يُدَانُهُ فِي عِلْمٍ وَلَا كَرَمِي. His form and character surpassed even the previous prophets, and none have approached him in knowledge or nobility. And so he said that فَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ, that he surpassed the previous prophets and messengers. And he went on to say that not only, he mentions here النبيين plural of all of the prophets and messengers. And Habib Qadim said that not only that was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam better than one of the previous prophets and messengers, rather he said that were you gather all of the previous prophets and messengers and all of their good attributes and to combine them into one person, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be better than that person, and not only better than them, that he would have many other things that would be significant to him that this person wouldn't have. And so he went on to say that even likewise, that were you to gather all of the praiseworthy characteristics from every single person who's ever lived and to put them into a certain human being, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be much better than this human being. And so he said that as we see in a narration that has a authenticated chain, a good chain, that Israf, that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his chest split and the angels came to him and to do what they were doing, that the angel Israfil looked to one of the other angels and he said that weigh the greatness of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with one of the members of his community. And they weighed him, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam outweighed this person. And they said, weigh them with 10 people from his ummah. And they did so, and he outweighed them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they weighed him with 100 people of his ummah, and he thus outweighed him. And then 1,000 people of his ummah, and then he outweighed them. And then the angel said that just leave him, for verily were you to add all of his ummah together and put them in one side of the scale, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would outweigh them. And in a different narration, were you to gather all of the human beings who have ever lived and put them on one side of the scale, that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have outweighed all of them. And this is from his special kamal and human perfection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, such that he had more human perfection than any other human being that ever lived. And as we see him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he goes on to say here, that فَاقَ النَّبِيِّينِ فِي خَلْقٍ وَفِي خُلُقٍ, he surpassed all of the prophets in his physical stature, in his khalq, and his inward character, in his khuluq. And he said that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was given half of the beauty. Right, he was given half of the beauty, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given 100% of the beauty. And he said that likewise in his inner character, in his inner attributes, that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam surpassed everyone. And the ayah of the Quran where Allah says, those messengers, we preferred some of them over others. And he said that this preferring, some of the imams have said, this preferring of some over others is related to the fact that of Allah's preference of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over all of the other prophets and messengers. And Imam Abu Sayyid goes on to say, وَلَمْ يُدَانُوهُ, nor did they even come close. So not only did he surpass them, but none of them even came close to him in his knowledge and his generosity.